Benson, good morning.
Hi, Sean. It's great to be here.
Oh, our absolute pleasure. Now, this case of coral bleaching, only 7% of the Great Barrier Reef has escaped coral bleaching this summer. Can you explain to us just briefly, because we have spoken about this one before, but just briefly what coral bleaching is and how it's currently impacting the reef?
Right. Essentially, coral depends on a symbiotic relationship with algae. Coral can't live on its own, so it needs this plankton to basically live in unison with the coral to keep it alive. The plankton, which is a phytoplankton like algae, gives the coral nutrients to survive. But unfortunately, when the water temperature increases and when the water becomes more acidic, this relationship breaks down and the algae leaches out of the coral and the coral starts to die, which gives it that bone white colour. Mm. And that's essentially what coral bleaching is.
Mm. And what do we see now happening? Because obviously there's been some discussion on this one, and now the tourist operators are denying some access because they're worried about the impacts, I guess, it's going to have on business around the reef. What exactly do we see happening now?
Well, I think it's only natural that they have decided to make this decision because tourism is so vital to our economy, particularly due to the Great Barrier Reef. Mm-hmm. And its in its renowned nature and its heritage listing. But at the same time, it is very regrettable given that we do need to have awareness of these issues and how they are impacting our natural systems. Mm-hmm. So it is a difficult, touchy issue, but I think at the end of the day, we do need to learn about what is happening in real life. We can't cover this up forever, and I think the tourism operators need to accept that this has happened and that we need to address it.
I guess, as we see often in debates around climate change, this is a bit of a short-term view, the short-term damage to the tourism industry that could be seen if people no longer want to want to visit the reef because of this coral bleaching is being balanced out against the long-term effects of if we don't do something now, the reef will be entirely destroyed. It's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah, that is the case. And I think that's what very few Australians really do realise is that the Great Barrier Reef is suffering immensely. Just this year, as you said, 95% or more of the Great Barrier Reef has experienced some form of bleaching. Practically all of it has had this catastrophic impact happen to it. So it's not something that's just something that we can ignore. It's really quite a devastating thing that people do need to be aware of.
Mm. Looking at the situation going forward, what does the future of the reef actually look like if this if there's nothing to be done? Is there anything to be done, I guess, about coral bleaching?
Well, coral bleaching is almost entirely linked to greenhouse gas emissions and climate change. Not only does the emission of greenhouse gases cause ocean temperatures to increase, but by adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, some of that carbon dioxide dissolves into the water, which produces carbonic acid, which makes the pH of the ocean go down, makes it more acidic. So really, the only thing we can do at this stage is to reduce our emissions, which is, of course, in line with the entire climate change-related agenda that needs to be pushed quite urgently.
Well, it's just perhaps as a final point, Benson, but it is quite intriguing to me. It's obviously largely young people are on board with climate change. You know, 99% of young people are saying, well, this is real. What we understand of the science, it all sort of fits together. And it's not really much of an issue for young people. Young people going forward, they know this is a thing that needs to be sorted out, but it is the policymakers and a lot of older people who are less concerned with the aspects of climate change, perhaps more concerned with some of those short-term views. So coming from an organisation like the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, who is it you're actually trying to reach with some of the information that you guys have? Who are you trying to reach? Is it young people or is it more the policymakers?
It's really both. So we obviously talk to young people and get young people involved. And if they are a little bit concerned about climate change, we make sure, you know, that they, if they are interested in that sort of thing, they get more into it. But really it's bringing the youth to the policymakers. So we speak to government ministers as young people, and we talk to corporate interests, and that is a really powerful way that we have to make real action. Mm-hmm. So last year we managed to almost single-handedly, I won't say single-handedly, it was in combination with other NGOs, but we managed to get the big four Australian banks, I think three of them, to pull out of funding the coal ports, which were planned to be constructed on the Great Barrier Reef, which are planned to be servicing this mega mine planned to be constructed in Queensland. So the way we managed to do that was just getting young people to go and talk to the local bank and having young people engage with corporate interests and directly talk with people. So I guess our mission is really to unite everyone on this. It is obviously important for youth because we are the we're the generation and our later generations that are going to really see the effects of climate change. But we're also one of the last generations around to be able to really take action against climate change as well.
Well, Benson, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time. Do appreciate you joining us here on The Daily this morning.
That's okay. Thank you very much.